these 12 signs come out as the precession of the equinoxes goes, involving the wobble of the tilt of the pole in our Earth as it goes around the sun, somewhere between 24 and 28,000 years, a certain pole star at a certain position returns to the same place. Now, when the pyramid was lined up, the dragon star, Thuban, which means subtle in Draconis, was sighted in on the descending passage of the pyramid. Polaris is the north star now, about every 2,000 years it changes, and depending upon the pole star in whichever constellation it rests, that becomes the age of that constellation. It lasts approximately 2,000 years. The sign of Aquarius crops up every year like every other sign as the Earth is going around the sun. And those signs in the heavens told God's eternal purposes every year. That's why Paul is saying they're without excuse. Wise men, when Jesus was born, could read the stars, and it led them to Christ. What's that do to the people that tell you that such study of the stars is of the devil? That study of the devil led the wise men to Christ. Now, Aquarius, in all languages, is the water bearer, the pourer forth of water, the exalted waterman. And he has three decans: the southern fish, Pisces Australis, drinking in the stream which pours from the urn of the waterman. I've shown you that picture. I'm reading Joseph Seiss now, The Gospel in the Stars. It is the picture of the believing acceptance of the invitation of the text, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink," as Seiss says. The second decan, and you'll find in Capp's book, and as I told you, I don't find too much to criticize in this one. I do want you to write a big capital no, no, no on the second paragraph of page 59 when you get it, or the first paragraph, where Sagittarius, the figure of the centaur, is somehow linked to the white horse in Revelation 6:2. This centaur has an arrow. The one in Revelation 6:2 didn't have an arrow, because the one in Revelation 6:2 was not the centaur, Christ, but was rather the Antichrist. And I do want that correction put into the book. Now, alongside Aquarius, who's pouring out living waters, we're in the section of the signs where the benefits to God's people of the Redeemer's work are suddenly unfolded. You have the signs within Aquarius of Pisces, Australis, the southern fish, Pegasus, the winged horse, and Cygnus, the swan. Now, what can those possibly teach about the benefits brought to the people that Christ is redeeming? The first four signs telling us his nature and his work. The next signs, the benefit, namely the atonement that we see in Capricorn, the living water that is poured out, the wondrous blessings that he brings, the believing fish, the southern fish, drinking in that stream. What can Pegasus, the winged horse, teach? Well, let's see what Seiss has to say. And you want to see that sign? It's usually pictured as the front half of the horse. If I can find a black and white picture with a black background, which is the easiest for my camera people to take as a picture. There it is. You ever seen that picture before? The winged horse, Pegasus. Second decan. Here is the figure of a great horse pushing forward with full speed, with great wings springing from his shoulders. Now, I've heard everything in the world And the myths have done more to rupture the truth in this sign than they've done with any others, as I've said. All these that speak of benefits to us, Satan has grabbed them, twisted them, and squeezed them. In the centaur, I address the question, well, how can that be the two-natured being when we've got the two-natured being symbolized, one, the man, and the other, the horse, and the rear end of a horse at that. I don't know if you'll like me telling this, but Jess Moody used to come over. You know, Jess Moody's got a real sense of humor. And he used to say a joke, I guess, he got out of that crazy little Texas town that he says he came from. He said, let's play horse, Gene. I'll be the head and you just be your natural self. And some people resent the idea that the two-natured one would have man's nature symbolized as the rear end of a horse. Well, do you know that supernatural means more natural? The only truly natural man, and that's what Luke set out to show, the only truly natural man was Jesus. We've just become horses' rear ends, that's all. In our sin. God uses a worse term. He says we have become wild ass men. He characterizes all sinners as Ishmael and then says the descendants of Ishmael are wild ass men. I've seen this symbolized so many different ways in various books. They have it, Jesus coming with the glad tidings of the gospel. No, he's already done that. They have it symbolize the church. I believe that. But instead of a horse's rear, we have become winged by the Spirit to take the God-given good news that poured out of that urn, drinking at that fount as the southern fish. Suddenly the church is released as a winged horse, empowered by the Spirit. He was the two-natured one. But exactly what Jesus prayed, he said, don't go forth with the gospel until you receive the Spirit. In response to our faith, drinking at the fount that flows from him, God places his Spirit in us. And we become two-natured. The heavenly life comes into us and lifts us up. And the gospel is carried, anointed of the Spirit. All of them agree that the winged horse is the symbol of racing to tell the gospel and the joyous good tidings, having drunk at the fount that comes from the urn the waterman pours out. I just wish they'd go all the way and have this poor horse's rear that is the man side of the two-natured symbol turned into what the Christian becomes, the man empowered of the Spirit, full of life and racing with the gospel. The final side piece which accompanies Aquarius consists of 81 stars. It embraces at least 5 double stars and 1 quadruple. The binary star, 61 Cygni, is the most remarkable star known in the heavens. It is one of the nearest to our system of fixed stars. It consists of 2 connected stars, which besides their revolution about each other, have a common, progressive, and uniform motion towards some determinate region, and moving thousands of times faster than the swiftest body known to our system. By the way, if you check the phone on the observatory, Griffith Observatory, they right now are featuring the black hole in space in our galaxy, that area of great density and mass. You ought to go here. You ought to go up there. I'd like to do a festival at the observatory. I want some of my people that have influence to arrange it. But this Cygni consists of these two connected stars moving towards some determinate region and moving thousands of times faster than the swiftest body known to our system. The symbol is, we've been the swan. Let's see if I can get a picture of it. The graceful swan in the heavens. Let's read what Capt has to say about it. This constellation lies in and parallel to the path of the Milky Way. It is the figure of a swan, the lordly kingbird of the waters. The principal stars marking its wings and length of body, forming a large and beautiful cross, the most perfect of all crosses formed by the constellations. In classic writings, the swan was considered the emblem of poetic dignity, purity, and grace. Various legends relate to this sign, which is also called the Northern Cross. In the zodiac of Dendera, which is an ancient Egyptian zodiac, the name of this figure is Tesark, meaning this from afar. The brightest of this constellation is reflected in its star names. Its brightest star means the Lord or Judge to come. Three of its other more important stars are in Hebrew, Sadir in the body, meaning who returns is in a circle, Azel, which is in the tail of the swan, meaning who goes and returns quickly, and Fafaji in the tail, meaning gloriously shining forth. As the white dove is the emblem of the Holy Spirit, so the elegant, pure, and graceful swan bearing the cross is a fitting emblem of him who, dying, sends forth the glad river of living waters. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let's see what Sice has to say. The swan, as the white dove, we kind of find here where Cap got some of his stuff. As the white dove is the emblem of the Holy Ghost, so the elegant, pure, and graceful swan is a fitting emblem of him who, dying, sends forth the glad river of living waters and presides in majesty over the administration of them to the thirsty children. But this swan is on the wing, in the act of rapid flight, circling and returning, as its name in Greek and Latin signifies. It seems to be flying down the Milky Way in the same general direction which pours from the heavenly urn. The principal stars have the following names. The brightest is Deneb, which means the Lord or Judge to come. Azel, who goes and returns. Fafaji, glorious and shining forth. Sadr, who returns, is in a circle. And Adigji, flying swiftly and arided, he shall come down. Other words of like import name other stars, all of which give strong identifications of this lordly bird king of the waters with him who, through the preaching of his cross, hither and thither over all this world, cries and says, come unto me and drink. Carrying his cross, now look at the total picture of Aquarius as these various scholars have laid it out to us. In Aquarius, we have the, what every myth, and I'll quit reading and talk to you, every myth has this carrier of the urn as the beautiful, favored one of God. He pours out the water that's always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. That symbol of the Holy Spirit, the believing Christian typified by the southern fish, drinks in it, becomes the flying horse empowered of the Holy Spirit. Takes someone with some Pentecostal backgrounds to interpret these signs, by the way, because it's a Lutheran that's writing, Joseph Sice. And with all of the problems and excesses. See, before I get done, when I start teaching the history of our doctrines and the history of the heresies in the early church, I will also point out what a lot of charismatics are forgetting, that in the early days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there were just as many Southern Baptists and Nazarenes and evangelicals who now sit on the platform and elect Tom Zimmerman as a leader in the NAE that said all that was from the devil, as there are people who now say pyramidology is from the devil and the zodiacs from the devil. I can give you a stack this high of books written that speaking in tongues is always of the devil. I can give you one of the greatest scholars of the church that says the miracle in Acts 2 was on the hearers, as if those mocking idiots that were the mob would get the miracle from God instead of the ones that were baptized with the Holy Spirit. But when I get around to Pentecost, I'm going to try to dig the gems out of the junk there too. There are some gems. One of the criticisms I have of Pentecost is they haven't produced any real theologians. They've produced no creative theologians. We've got Pentecostal preachers preaching every Sunday claiming the power of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't preach if they didn't steal somebody else's sermon. You go to their library, it's by their judgment, non-spirit-filled writers that fill them up every Sunday. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll teach you and He'll lead you. All the Christian books that have been written on the zodiac miss the truth of the swan and the truth of the horse, both of which are symbols of the work of the Holy Spirit, as the believing fish, which is the symbol of the church, drinks at the fount, which is nothing other than the Holy Spirit poured out by the carrier of the urn who ascended to the heavens. But because they don't really believe, most of these 18th and 19th century church scholars were still captured with their age and did not believe in the outpouring of the Spirit that has come across this land since the turn of the century. And I keep just tearing people apart. Just when everybody's convinced that I don't believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, here I go. I got Pentecostals that are sure that I'm not. And the classical conservative churchmen, because I grew up in it, they're sure I am. And hate me for it. The truth is, you got the Holy Spirit, He ought to keep you out on the frontier and not make you an embedded, impacted member of the traditional establishment. It always works that way if you really have a spirit. The pioneer of the pioneer. Because these people lived before the day of the outpouring in the last days, they would not give in the signs of the heavens the place to the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives, and which God gives. Jesus said to His disciples, better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He prayed in His prayer that was the Lord's prayer. Said, Father, while I was with them, speaking of His disciples, and He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which You've given Me out of the world, the sheep that shepherd protects. And not just for them, but for all who believe through the word that they bring. Now, He says, while I was with them, I kept them. But I'm no longer in the world. I come to Thee. Now, Father, You keep them. Make them one as You and I are one. I in them, they in Me. Just three chapters or two chapters earlier, He had said, I'm going to pray the Father to give you another comforter. Paraclete is the word. One alongside. What we have in this sign is the exalted Christ who pours out His Spirit, that when the saints drink of that water, they become like winged horses to take the gospel. They become like swans who can pick up their cross and fly with it. Too bad some of these others. That's why you wonder why I don't give you books. One of these days, somebody's going to put down all that I'm teaching. But I can't find a book that will say it all. I've got to read a dozen or more of them. This sign of Aquarius, what is the water? It's the water of the Holy Spirit. This is the sign of the outpouring of the Spirit, that when the fish drinks, he doesn't just reproduce, he flies. That's why I think the church should be on the offensive. You ever even looked at a movie with a bunch of charging horses coming at you? Just charging out of the screen at you? I tell you a movie, everybody. I recommend this movie too. Everybody will see The Black Stallion. Everybody in the world will see The Black Stallion. Put wings on that horse now. That's what the Holy Spirit did. From the rear end of a horse, you start flying. That's the sign of Aquarius. And the swan is not Christ. It is that which happens to the one who drinks at the water. Jesus told us to pick up a cross. The Spirit, you say, well, how do you get the Spirit? Faith. I've had people say, how do I get the Spirit? Asking. Isn't that what he said? And believe that he's going to give it to you. When you're acting in faith, God's Word says he places his Spirit in you. And there's only one Spirit. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. He went back home, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and ever liveth to make intercession for us. And he prayed that God would keep him after he left by making us one as he and the Father were one, I and them, they and me. The prayer for the Spirit, the paraclete, the comforter, the one alongside. He's there, Spirit's here. You will meet God through his Spirit. And God has said he will give his Spirit to those of faith. Two things happen. You're placed in Christ. His Spirit's placed in you. You drink at that fount. You carry the gospel with wings like the horse that is winged. And instead of your cross being so hard to pick up, you just sort of glide with it like the swan and rise above the waters and fly. That's the sign of Aquarius. Well, I want you to call me. I've talked long enough. If you're not going to show me that you're interested in it, I'm telling you what I've just told you, you won't find any book. So write it in the margins. Because the sign of Aquarius is the work of the Holy Spirit, the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Capricorn is the atoning work of Christ. Aquarius, the outpouring of the Spirit and its benefits. Now, if you're interested in what I'm teaching and learning anything, will you call me? Question from Fullerton. Is filled with the Spirit and baptized with the Holy Spirit the same thing? Yes. I have somebody here who says, what must I do to be saved? Faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Start acting like he says something and means it and will do it if you hang on it. To be a Christian, same thing. To go to heaven, same thing. El Monte says, is speaking in tongues an evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Well, it can be one of them. This old Pentecostal has seen a lot of people who talk in tongues that are no more full of the Spirit or walking in the Spirit than a dog who barks. You don't need to be confused. It's one of them. But it's not the only one. The expressions of the Spirit include a lot of things. You don't need evidence that the Holy Spirit is in you. That's the fallacy of old-time Pentecost. Faith does not look for evidence other than God's promise. Faith becomes the evidencing container. I believe I have the Holy Spirit because if I'm acting in faith, God told me he'd give it to me. And the tragedy of old-time Pentecost is it produced self-righteousness instead of a life in the Spirit because they wore their experience around like a medal. I got my baptism. Some of the worst troublemakers I've ever met and the worst saints I've ever met speak in tongues. Some of the best I've ever met speak in tongues. It ain't no surefire guarantee, but when the Holy Spirit speaks through you and controls your unruly tongue, it is one of the signs of the Holy Spirit. an inevitable accompaniment of fullness is that every part of me capable of coming under God's control is under His control. But God's Word says, I have the Spirit. When I act in faith, He places His Spirit in me. And you don't get another Spirit. There's only one Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, what I've been teaching is we walk in faith, the Spirit has a continuing relationship in us which produces a greater degree of fullness. Now, faith receives the Holy Spirit. Doesn't earn it, receives it. It's a gift of God. Just keep listening to me. You won't get confused. I'm not your traditional Pentecostal. I grew up in that frame. I am a Paulinist. I believe what Paul believed, preach what Paul preached, and have the experience Paul had, and that's good enough for me. I'm not Assembly of God, Pentecostal Church of God, or any of those things. I'm a Jesus man, like Paul was. I've always heard Compton says that water was a type of the Word of God and oil was a type of the Spirit. Any comment? Sure, it's a type. Water's a type of the Word. And oil's a type of the Spirit. But God's not bound by types. Water is also a type of the Holy Spirit. In the traditional teachings on the types, they didn't think much of the work of the Holy Spirit until the recent century. The laver in the Old Testament, the mirror, was a type of the Word, which is the expression of the revelation of God through His Son. You hold, or you stand in front of the mirror and let it measure you. The water was a type of the Holy Spirit that did a cleansing you couldn't do. Don't let types interpret God's Scripture. A lion is the type of Christ, but it's also the beast of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Types don't write Scripture. But when you have the man Christ Jesus pouring something out from the heavens, the Word was already here. The eternal Word became the living Word to become the spoken and preached Word to become the written Word. But that was not enough until the water of the Spirit was poured out. Dr. Scott, what are those gates of heaven that Enoch talked about? Well, I'll talk about them one of these nights. What is the significance of the scorpion stinging the heel? Manhattan Beach. Read Genesis 3, first prophecy of God. Seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, the serpent will bruise his heel. Riverside, did we enter the age of Aquarius in August 1953? We'll see. San Francisco, since I was 13 and I'm 39 now, I keep coming to a point where I feel I do have faith and then I lose it. Can I ever hope to achieve some steady state of faith? Not if you don't work at it. And if you do work at it, it'll only be so-so. These guys tell you they never lose their faith. They're liars. That's all they are. They're liars. David was a man after God's own heart. He said, what time I'm afraid. That means there was a break in the faith connection. But he righted it in a hurry. He said, I will, literally, faith in the Lord. Now, I've preached on this many times. You read the Psalms of David, you'll find, get a commentary, and they date the periods in his life when he wrote the Psalms, when and where he was when he was writing them. Now, you'll find that the early psalms that he wrote, he sometimes would write two psalms, moaning and groaning about his circumstance and how terrible it was, and then he'd get his eyes off the circumstance onto God and write a third psalm that would suddenly change his whole being, even though his circumstance hadn't changed, because he looked to God and got back into faith. You read his later psalms. He only wastes a verse or two on the circumstance. He gets right with it. It takes practice. But there will always come the challenge of faith. And today's problem that discourages you, once you learn to conquer it, a bigger one will come tomorrow. The Lord makes sure, whom the Lord loveth, He traineth, is the word paideia in the Greek in the book of Hebrews, which means to child train or to make a runner run around the track. You don't stop with one lap. You get toughened to that, you go to two. So you'll always have problems. Quit expecting to get something in the Christian journey that's like a pill you can take that'll solve it all. I want to go home. Time to go home. I'm going to finish this. Somebody calls and says, I want to hear all this, but I can't listen for 4 hours. Okay? Listen tomorrow night.